Today on the Dark Side of Alabama, corrections official and inmate allegedly had a special relationship and are both kind of missing now. A body found in a barrel in Lake Mead may date back to the 1980s, more likely to appear as water recedes, according to Las Vegas police, and a mom charged with attempted homicide after shooting her two sons in her Pennsylvania home. Today on the Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of...
Yeah, that indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, this isn't really dark or anything, but it's crime, not crime. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But have you been following the Black China Kardashians trial at all?
No, I can't say
I
have.
I'm kind of fascinated by it, right?
Yeah, no.
So Black China was married to Rob, and she's saying that, you know, it's basically she went after him for quite a bit of money, like $50 million or something.
Okay.
I don't remember. I don't know if it was that much, but it was a lot of money because they ruined her career, and her and Rob were supposed to have a spinoff. But, you know, I think they kind of, that blew up on itself because their relationship blew up. So the Kardashians got off and they were not, so they're fine. They walk away. So now they want to appeal it. So her mother, Tokyo Toni,
the fuck is that with his name?
Started a GoFundMe page so they can pursue this appeal. And okay. So I just looked, and the goal is to raise $400,000. Now, to me, if you're going to raise $400,000, the woman has a couple kids. Like, there's a lot you could do with $400,000 rather than appeal a case that's been tossed out already.
Yeah.
But that's what they're going to do. So they put this up, I think it was, created 2 days ago. Today is Thursday. So it was created on Tuesday. And do you have any guess how much they've raised?
It's either going to be like next to nothing or a ridiculous amount of money.
Next to nothing. They've raised $1,179. And I looked earlier today, and now anybody could put Kim Kardashian's name down. But earlier today, I was looking at it, and Kim Kardashian was a donor for $5. It's like Kim Kardashian, $5.
How did these people become famous? Because they were dating Kardashians? They were...
Well, she was dating Rob Kardashian.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're dating a Kardashian, yeah. So she was on their show, and she got paid quite a bit of money for being on the Kardashian show. And then her and Rob had their own spinoff show.
Okay.
Then I don't think their marriage was ever solid. I don't...
Yeah.
I have no idea. But, yeah, so we're going to raise $400,000. We're well on our way with $1,179.
They look just like, I don't know, I'm not familiar with these people at all, but I'm looking at the pictures I'm finding here on Google. It's like an episode of plastic surgery gone wrong in many of these cases. It's like, what happened here to these individuals?
Well, we know where all the money went that she made off the show.
My God, it's almost scary. It's like, what? Whoa. Yeah, it's, kind of scary. Yeah,
I don't know why. I get fascinated with shit like that. And I just thought the whole thing was just so odd. And so they've got the Kardashians in court every day. Then at one point they're like, you know, Kim, you're really, this isn't about you. You're dismissed from this trial. So then it comes down to like the mom and two of the sisters or three of them. And I think Rob's a whole separate trial yet.
I had no idea.
So she's going to take that one to court and then wants to appeal this one. So she already has like all kinds of lawyer fees for this one. I'm like, you know, it's like sometimes you just got to walk away. Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Amber Heard.
Just
got
lots of
away.
Distractions from reality.
Let's just let it go. Let's move on.
I get like the fascination because it's like it's completely, it's just this junk food for the mind where it's just like, this is interesting because it's craziness and all that. And it's like, okay. And then because there's just so much craziness going on that it's like, this is like non-threatening craziness, I guess, you know, because it's crazy people that are not, you know, directly affecting anything in life.
Oh my God. I just looked at in some of the new donors within the last hour, Kris Jenner and Kylie Jenner. I don't really know that they each donated.
I want to donate as like Ghislaine Maxwell and all that. That would be kind of fun.
Oh, this just makes me laugh.
Jeffrey
so I have
Epstein.
No idea that that's really them, but
yeah.
You know, I could donate. But you know, when you donate, you have to, I guess I could put down any name.
You can, yes.
But that's funny.
That's great.
So if they donated, that was really funny. If they didn't donate, it's still really
it's
funny.
Probably not them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I like to think it was because that's just funny shit.
I know. I had a really interesting moment yesterday on the internets, on the world wide webs, on the GeoCities, if you will. I was having a conversation about conspiracy theories. And there's a couple that I, you know, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I've always found them interesting, but I don't believe most of them because I think a lot of them can be debunked. But there's a handful that I really do believe there is something seriously to them. And you used to be able to find these things freely in the United States. You used to be able to go online, dig a little bit, and there you'd find it. It wasn't that hard to get to some of the information or the accusations that were in some of these things. I have not searched for these things in a couple years, but the conversation came up like, I'm going to find you this video that I always thought was really compelling and interesting. Guess what? You can't fucking find it. You can't find anything about it. All you can find
was the video. What did it have to do with?
Well, I was focusing on World Trade Center 7. Which is a building that came down late afternoon, about 5:25 in the afternoon, 40-some story building, imploded on itself next to the trade towers. And they said, oh, well, the steel was, it was failing here and there. And it just perfectly fucking came down. And before it, there's all these video clips. And granted, we're not talking camera phones at the time, but there was a lot of cameras rolling. And you hear explosion, 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 explosion. Then it goes down. But we're all told, it just collapsed on its own. Nothing to see here. That never made any sense to me whatsoever. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time to make a planned demolition. To make it work like that. And I always thought, well, there's got to be more to this story. But it was always just brushed to the side, brushed to the side. And slowly, you didn't hear much about it. But I always found it fascinating. Now, when I try and search it or Google it, all you can fucking find is information saying why that's crazy and why you shouldn't think that way and why this is what the official explanation is and nothing else. Google, Yahoo, YouTube, Facebook, anything. Every once in a while, you find a little one that kind of slipped through the cracks that didn't get censored, but it's gone. The information is gone. And I'm sure if you had other places to search, it's out there. And you know, there's places where it resides, but you can't find it if you're using any sort of mainstream search engine. And I started searching some other conspiracy theories as well, just out of curiosity. Good fucking luck. All that comes up on anything conspiracy related in any sort of major search engine is why it's wrong. And it in a very shameful way, too. That was not how it was a couple years ago. Like there was like, here's a site where people are talking about this or that. It has gotten so censored. And there's a certain level of me where I'm like, I get it. Cause things were getting really out of control. There was really crazy shit being said, but not everything that doesn't go along with the dialogue or the storyline that our government wants to put out is always true. And that is proven through history. But it seems like now, okay, great. You want to go do your own research? Go do your own research. good luck doing your own research. You can't find it. And
you know, it creeps me out. I always thought was a conspiracy.
What?
Theory is JFK's assassination.
Yeah.
I've always thought there's, because if you go there and you look at, he was standing here and he fired this many shots and he hit him there.
And that likely is.
And it's like one guy.
Yeah. But it's so far past now, like that one's, they don't even care about censoring that shit anymore. But it's like anything remotely current day, it's like, good luck. If this doesn't fit the narrative, it ain't going out there. And these are independent companies. We're talking Google. We're talking independent companies. We don't have state-run internet searching here yet. Or do we, I guess, is the question. Because, you know, you heard about, like, China and things like that, where, like, you can't find that on their websites. Or if you do, you really got to know how to dig.
There's so many conspiracy theories that you can find.
You can and you can't. I mean, I think they, I mean, really went
all over every day. Go to Facebook. There's people. I mean, I've kind of cleaned out my Facebook friends.
You'll get those sort of things. But if you want to do more research on anything, you can't find information. Even about legitimate things half the time. It's like, what happened here? What? I was shocked. I really was shocked and kind of scared, where it's like, okay, we went way the fuck overboard here on going, this is not okay to think, because this is clearly wrong. We're just taking everything out that we not only is wrong, but we don't want you to believe. And I'm seeing it firsthand. And I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I was really weirded out by it the other day.
Hmm.
It's happening. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of in this place where I'm reexamining a lot of my beliefs on things and kind of going, okay, I want more information on this and more information on that, and things that I may have said, well, that's bullshit forever. And you start doing some like, wait a second, maybe there is more to this. And I was just digging in on my side, but this side actually is a pretty valid point too. And you go back and forth like, okay, it's not one side or the other, because each side has kind of their own amount of shit. But there's just a lot of, it's very difficult to find information. I'm really starting to understand when people are saying like fake news and things like that, because I really respected news organizations because we fucking worked with them and grew up, you know, as part of them. And it's like, okay, but yeah, like the national narrative, what is this being controlled by? What is that? And I think a lot of it, when you get to the people who are actually like delivering the message, they're just doing what their producers are telling them to do. I don't think they're actually like the bad people behind anything, but there's something deeper going on where it's like, this is our narrative and this is what we're doing. And I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I can't really comment much on that because I have not dug around.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a lot of comment on that,
mm-hmm.
But I also don't think any of that shit would be new. I mean, you know, government's been covering up shit forever.
They have. I've just
1776.
I just like I used to search some of these things for fun because I was just kind of curious, and now you can't even find the information, and that's what's scaring me. It's like, what are we doing here? Where is this stuff going? So, kind of fucked up. Alabama corrections official, an inmate has escaped. Allegedly, they had a special relationship and both are now missing. According to WHNT News, we shall capture them. The search continues for the escaped inmate and missing officer. This is in Alabama. Lauderdale County officials provided an update on the search for a missing inmate and a corrections director Monday morning. Lauderdale County Sheriff Rick Singleton announced that they have issued a warrant for Assistant Director of Corrections Vicki White's arrest for first degree facilitating an escape. We know she participated, Singleton said, but added they are still investigating to see whether she was threatened or not. The possibility of a romantic relationship is also being looked into, Singleton said. This is not the Vicki White we know, Singleton stated. The sheriff relayed the concern for Vicki among her colleagues. Vicki, according to Singleton, had been talking about her retirement for the past 3 to 4 months, had talked about visiting the beach, and had recently sold her home. Court documents show that White sold her home in Lawndale County on April 18, 2022 for $95,550. The day Vicky and the inmate disappeared was reportedly her last scheduled day to work, the sheriff said. Singleton also said she is available to talk with the family of Connie Ridgway, who Casey White confessed to killing in 2020. Don't take any chances with this guy, Singleton pleaded to law enforcement across the country. On Sunday, the U.S. Marshals Service offered a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of Casey White and Vicky White, who, despite sharing the last name, authorities have not said are related. White was charged with two counts of capital murder in 2020 after confessing to stabbing Connie Ridgway to death in 2015. Authorities at the time said he gave details in the case that were never released to the public. Vicky White, according to Sheriff Singleton, has worked for the department for around 16 years and was highly respected among her colleagues. A timeline of events released on Saturday, Vicky ordered a corrections deputy to get Casey ready for transport to the courthouse around 9:20 in the morning on Friday, April 29th. The deputy removed Casey from his cell pod and took him to the booking area where he put him in handcuffs and leg shackles. Around 9:40 a.m., Vicky and Casey left the detention center alone, a direct violation of policy. Singleton stated during a Friday night press conference, Vicky had informed the staff the transport was to take Casey to the mental health evaluation, though none was scheduled from there. She told the booking officer that she was the only firearm certified officer available. She also told him that she would be stopping by an urgent care facility after dropping Casey off at the courthouse because she hadn't been feeling well. At 11:34 a.m., Florence, a police officer, spots the empty patrol car in a parking lot with other cars for sale. Wouldn't be until that late in the afternoon that things didn't seem right. The booking officer reported to administration around 3:30 p.m. that they had tried multiple times to contact Vicky, but her phone was going straight to voicemail. She also reported that inmate Casey had not been returned to the detention center. By 5:30 Friday evening, the U.S. Marshals were contacted to help the investigation, along with FBI, ATF, Secret Service, and the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. The entire press conference from Friday evening can be watched in a video. Sheriff Singleton, when asked if he believes whether Vicky assisted in the escape or not, says that he believes she is in danger either way. What do you think?
Oh, I think she ran off with him.
Think she fell in love?
I do. And I think that they need to look at their systems that are in place because, and supposedly she went against protocol where there's supposed to be two people transporting a prisoner, but why wasn't there?
Yeah.
So if they're supposed to be, how can you get away with taking some murderer on your own?
Yeah.
And then, like, well, he's got an appointment, but he doesn't have an appointment. So you can just, as a guard, you can be like, hey, I'm taking Tony. He's got a mental health exam. I'm the only one who can do it. So see you guys later. Oh, by the way, after that, I'm not feeling very good, so I'm going to go to the doctor. And here are my retirement papers. Because, like, she turned in her retirement papers that day, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just seems like they need to implement some better systems.
You think?
Because, like, it just doesn't seem like it should be that easy for one person to, like you should never transport a prisoner by yourself. Like, and where's the person double checking? Like, oh, he's got an appointment today. Like, shouldn't they have checked him out? Like, as in, checked on the computer that, oh yeah, he does have that appointment today.
Oh, you say that's true? Okay, great. You have fun.
Here's the keys.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just seems like it's pretty easy to take a prisoner out wherever, you know, in that county. And he's a bad guy.
It kind of does sound like that. It kind of sounds like everybody's walking around. Will, I thought Skip was going to do that over there. And no, well, I guess that's not what...
She wasn't feeling good.
She's going to go to the urgent care. I was going to stop
her. Like, yeah. Then I read, you know, well, she's got access to all this money because she sold her house. And I'm like, well, you don't take your $95,000 from your house and put it in your purse.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have that cash. She might have access to money, but once she accesses her money, she's going to leave a trail on where she is.
Yeah.
you know, she gets some money out of ATM. You can't get $95,000 out of an ATM. So I'm like, there's something that we're not getting. And then today I read, well, she no longer works for the sheriff's department. I'm like, well, of course she doesn't. She retired that day. But so I don't know if they consider her fired.
I don't know.
Because somebody should be fired over this.
It's not going to be like a real, like, oh, you guys went out to Denny's and stayed out a little bit late this week. Okay, that's good. You guys come right back in.
Yeah. Are you feeling better? How did his mental health exam
go? How did that go? Oh, you just slept over? You played a little Nintendo? Okay. Well, that's good. Glad you guys had a nice night.
And when did they take prisoners out of the prison for mental health exams? Because I'm telling you, it's hard enough to get one when you're not in prison.
Yeah. I mean, and that would be half of the thing. It's like, maybe if we started doing that a little bit more off to the side before people get in prison, we'd have less people in prison. Just a thought.
I'm with you.
Eight news now and the I team. They found a body in a barrel in Lake Mead. It may lead back to the 1980s and more likely there to appear as the water recedes, Las Vegas police. So Lake Mead over by Las Vegas, it's receding dramatically right now. And so naturally, there's kind of a lot of shit showing up. The body found in a barrel at Lake Mead on Sunday may have been underwater for as long as 4 decades, and more bodies are likely to appear as the lake recedes due to severe drought. Las Vegas Metro Police Homicide Lieutenant Ray Spencer told 8 News Now, I-Team. Police suspect the person was killed in the 80s based on personal items in the barrel. What did they find? Spencer said he would not elaborate on the person's cause of death or the items found. Well, come on. Got to give us something. Why do you think it's the 80s? Citing an ongoing investigation, a photo shared with the I-Team showed what looked like skeletal remains in the barrel. The barrel looked to have been stuck in the mud. Boaters discovered the body around 3 p.m. on Sunday. The I-Team first reported the discovery on Sunday afternoon, and the new details Monday. Who the fuck refers to themselves as the I-Team other than like old TV news people? It's like, I'm not a reporter. I'm part of the I-Team. We heard a woman scream from the side of the beach, and then my husband went over to obviously see what was wrong, Shauna Hollister said. And then he realized there was a body there in the barrel. Police believe the barrel was fully intact when it was dropped in the lake. It's going to take an extensive amount of work, Spencer said, about identifying the victim, adding his team was reaching out to UNLV to examine growth on the barrel and where it may have started to erode. Why would they not just contact the I-Team for that? You know, I'm sure there'd be some great, like, 16, 17-year-old interns that are being harassed by male members of the staff of the TV station that would be great at identifying why there is barnacles growing on a barrel that's been in the lake since the 1980s. Because, after all, they are part of the I-Team. It's going to be a very difficult case, Spencer said. I would say there's a very good chance as the water level drops, we're going to find additional human remains. That's lovely.
Do you think?
Around Las Vegas? No. The area where the barrel was discovered is near Hemingway Harbor Boat Ramp. Crews have had to extend the ramp hundreds of feet over the past decades to get it closer to the water. In the 1980s, what is now beach would have been several dozen feet underwater. The ongoing severe drought is leading to other discoveries in the lake. Last week, the top of water intake pipe was visible above the water's surface as the lake level continues to drop. Lake Mead dropped below 1,056 feet in elevation last Tuesday, less than a week after hitting 1,057 feet the week before. Lake levels are expected in altitude, are expressed rather in altitude, not depth. At its highest levels, the lake is near 1,225 feet. I think anybody can understand there are probably more bodies that have been dumped in Lake Mead. It's just a matter of, are we able to recover those, Spencer said. It's heartbreaking to see that somebody's loved one is out there. So, I mean, I hope they get justice or somebody finds out at least who it is, Hollister said. Clark County Coroner's Office was working to identify the remains. Tips can be submitted anonymously through Crime Stoppers or at Crime Stoppers FNV.com. So there you go. We can make it into an exciting, you know, find the bodies thing and invite fishermen out and go. It's like a fishing expedition. However many bodies you get in a weekend, you get like a prize or something. You get a outboard motor company sponsoring it, and you'll get tons of people out there finding bodies.
I got the feeling there's a bunch of them there. Because, I mean, and I do think it would be hard to identify them because there's a lot of people who go to Las Vegas that people didn't ever know were in Las Vegas.
Yeah. From murder to suicide, I think, in that lake. Yeah.
But with all of the gangster type of guys way back when, like they said, that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of crime. And, you know, when you're gambling and money and all that mm-hmm. shit, it's like, yeah, they're going to be finding more.
You know, I had speaking of gangsters and that sort of stuff, I had an interesting moment today. There was some story that had come up about The Sopranos. And James Gandolfini and such. And I remember watching The Sopranos when it first was coming out back in the early 2000s and such. And it was actually late 90s. Technically, I think 99 is when it came out. I started watching it around 2000, 2001 on VHS, mind you, that I would rent from the Blockbuster. Rent from the Blockbuster a VHS cassette that had like two or three episodes on it and return it. I was be kind and I did rewind. And then I would get the next one. And that's how I watched like the first two or three seasons of The Sopranos. And then I went to DVD and did that for the rest of it. And then I started watching it on HBO eventually. But anyway, I had an interesting moment because as I get older, it's like, I wonder how old James Gandolfini was at the beginning of Sopranos. And I look it up. He was a year younger than I am.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, shit. Like, I'm the same age as, like, Tony Soprano was in, like, the beginning of Sopranos. And I'm like, that's just, I don't know, it's a weird perspective thing as I get older.
And you just think of him as much older.
You do. I mean, I always did when I was young. I was like, he's older, you know? It's like, oh, my God. I'm older than that. Yeah, he was 38 when he started in it. On Sopranos. I don't know. Just interesting moment in that. Here's another fun. When a mother charged with attempting homicide after shooting two sons at her Pennsylvania home. Back to the accounts and logic of parents just seeming to not have that paternal and maternal instinct in them anymore. A Bucks County woman is facing attempted murder charges after authorities say she shot her two sons in their beds and then tried to shoot a neighbor. When the gun jammed, Trin T. Wynn, 38, was arrested Monday morning near United Methodist Church in Washington Crossing hours after shooting that left 13-year-old Jeffrey and 9-year-old Nielsen in grave condition. Officers from Upper Makesfield Police Department were called to Timber Ridge Road around 7 a.m. for reports of an armed person. Police were told by the 22-year-old neighbor that Wynn allegedly tried to shoot him twice in the face after she handed him a box of photos to give to her ex-husband whom he worked with. According to investigators, Wynn pulled the trigger twice, but the gun did not fire. 22-year-old man wrapped Wynn in a bear hug and disarmed her, but she fled to the neighbors in the neighborhood where a Toyota Sienna minivan was parked, police said. Officers and the mother of the neighbor entered Wynn's home and found her two boys, gravely shot in the head. Bucks County District Attorney Matthew Weintraub told reporters that both children will have their organs donated. So that sounds like it's done. Both children will give the gift of life to others as their organs will be transplanted. Weintraub said once that occurs, we will upgrade these charges to two counts of homicide. The two victims were students at the Council Rock School District. According to the release from the leadership, Acting Superintendent Susan Elliott offered support to district students and families struggling to process a well-publicized tragedy. We tend to process such information in different ways and in different places, Elliott wrote in part. Please know that we will continue to monitor our students and staff and provide them the support they need while they're at school. Prosecutors said Wynn was also taken to the hospital after her arrest due to the indication that she herself was under the influence of drugs. She was later cleared and arrested and arraigned on Monday night where a judge denied her bail. Wynn currently is facing 3 counts of attempted homicide and a charge of possession of an instrument of crime. Authorities have not shared a motive for the shooting, but Weintraub said investigators believe it might have been a botched double murder suicide. How do you fuck that up? You kill the kids and you can't pull the trigger on yourself?
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No,
to me.
It's like if you shot, I could see like you shot yourself and you didn't die. That would be a botched murder suicide, not like the gun jammed at the neighbor.
Yeah, because I just think if she was able to kill her own children, once you do that, I think killing yourself wouldn't
be that hard.
I don't know what goes through one's mind at that point, but I couldn't imagine even wanting to go on after that. It's like, I just did this horrific thing. How could I have done that? Yeah, I don't know. That's effed up. And they were so young, and that it just makes no sense. It's like, if you don't want to care for the children, take them to someone who can. You know, I don't get that. Like, they're innocent kids.
You know, I'd love to see the statistical numbers on things like the amount of deaths from school shootings and the amount of deaths from horrible parents just at home with their kids. And we're so focused. And yeah, school shootings are horrible. We need to focus. We need to get that shit under control. But I think are we also missing a bigger problem going on over here, which probably leads to school shootings? Horrible parents who are killing their children in much larger, massive numbers than one breaks away and goes into the schools?
I mean, I'm sure that statistic exists. That's hard to say.
Statistic exists. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just so horrific.
How many homicidal parents do we have versus how many school shootings do we have by homicidal children? Neither are good in any way, shape, or form, obviously. But okay, let's dig a little bit deeper into the onion peel here and go, okay, well, where do these kids come from? And how many of these kids end up just getting killed by their parents because they are in this crazy household and everybody's insane and death ends there. And then some end up, you know, going the other direction. They break out and they do it into classmates. But we don't seem to, there's not a lot that seems to go on to like the mental health of parents or focusing on this or that. There really isn't. It's like, you have children? Well, you must love them and do great for them. And then if you get caught doing something, we may take them away. But if we got no one to take them, we may just put them right back with you too. And this sort of shit happens all the fucking time.
And chances are they have nowhere to put the kids.
Exactly. So I don't, it's like we're picking tragedies here. Like there may be one that's far larger, but we're not really focusing on it because we don't really have quite a solution for it. And the other, it's like, well, this is more dramatic. I don't know. It's kind of fucked up. It's like we don't seem to ever get it, like what the cause of problems actually are and try to address that.
I think, too, that mental illness is difficult to detect sometimes. I think that a lot of people, when they're outside of the home, they can put on a different face than inside the home, and
sure,
you know, their loved ones see it differently, but the outside doesn't see it. And so, you know, if it's a single mom with 2 kids, you know, she's got primary custody, you know.
Well, I agree that sometimes it's hard to catch, but I think a lot of times everyone around knows, but there's nothing anyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the problem. It's like, unless they've done something, there's nothing you really can do. Nope. And that's, I mean, I don't know what the answer is either. I mean, because then you can get into preemptive things where people just take people away from people based on allegations without any evidence. But there needs to be something that assesses mental health and go, okay, we got this concern. We need to address this and this universal kind of look at mental health. And if you pass, great, you're good. If not, we need to figure this out. So you are good for yourself and your kids. I don't think we'll ever
I think
get
that
there.
We're just constantly, you know,
We're band-aiding everything.
Chasing our tails because there's so many families and children in crisis all the time that you can't go preemptively to look at some family like maybe she'll hurt her kids, but she already did. And
no,
we got
right.
to take care of those kids.
No.
And, you know, the foster care system is so overwhelmed.
No, we're too busy spending money on shit that we really don't need to spend money on rather than things in our country where we could really improve it. Things like this.
Oh, the foster care system.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, yeah, I mean, it just baffles me. I don't know. There's just so many things where it's like, this really, I mean, we put some money at some of these things, not like hand out money, but staff money, employ people to do jobs and help people money. Like, we could make a really fucking big difference, but nope, we're going to kind of line the checks over here for this and that. But as we decay on the inside, I don't know. It's fucked up.
Yes.
So. There you go. That's another fun episode today of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for all of us at The Dark Side Of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.